Now today we start, not start, continue, 1937. It's one of the meditation. It should be the night, September 29th. With longing, I gaze into the starlit-like sky, into the sapphire of fabulous firmaments. There the pure heart leaps out to find you, O God, and yearns to be freed of the bonds of the flesh. If great longing, I gaze upon you, my homeland. When will this, my exile, come to an end? O Jesus, such is the call of your bride, who suffers agony in her thirst for you. With longing, I gaze at the footprints of the saints who cross this wilderness on their way to the fatherland. They left me the example of their virtue and their counsels, and they say to me, "Patience, sister, soon the fetters will break." But my longing so hears not these words. Ardently, it yearns for its Lord and its God, and it understands not human language, because it is enamored of Him alone. My longing soul, wounded with love, forces its way through all created things and unites itself with infinite eternity. If the Lord, whom my heart has exposed, and now my longing soul, O God, to be drowned in your divine threefold essence, fulfilled my desires, for which I humbly beg you, with a heart brimming with love's fire. Finish. A certain person came to the door today and asked to be admitted as one of our students. But she could not be admitted. She was in great need of our house. During the conversation which I had with her, the passion of Jesus was renewed in me. When she had gone, I undertook one of the severest mortifications. Nevertheless, the next time I will not let such a soul get away. For 3 days, I suffered much on her account. How much I regret that our institutions are so small and that they cannot accommodate a greater number of souls. My Jesus, you know how much I grieve over every straying sheep. O humanity, lovely flower, I see how few souls possess you. Is it because you are so beautiful and at the same time so difficult to attain? Humanity, so difficult? Oh yes, it is both the one and the other. Even God takes great pleasure in her. The floodgates of heaven are open to his humble soul, and a sea of graces flows down upon her. Oh, how beautiful is a humble soul. From her heart, as from a censer, rises a varied and most pleasing fragrance, which breaks through the skies and reaches God Himself, filling His most sacred heart with joy. God refuses nothing to such a soul. She is all-powerful and influences the destiny of the whole world. God raises such a soul up to His very throne, and the more she humbles herself, the more God stoops down to her, pursuing her with His graces and accompanying her at every moment with His omnipotence. Such a soul is most deeply united with God. all humility, strike deep roots in my whole being, O Virgin most pure, but also most humble, help me to attain deep humility. Now I understand why there are so few saints. It's because so few souls are deeply humble. We are all called to be saints, right? That means we are all called to be humble. Eternal love, death of mercy, O triumph holiness, yet one God, whose bosom is full of love for all, as a good father, you scorn no one. O love of God, living fountain, pour yourself out upon us, your unworthy creatures. May our misery not hold back the torrents of your love, for indeed there is no limit to your mercy. Jesus, I've noticed that you seem to be less concerned with me. The word of the Lord. Yes, my child, I'm replacing myself with your spiritual director, Father Andres. He is taking care of you according to my will. Respect his every word as my own. He is the veil behind which I am hiding. Your director and I are one. His words are my words. Sometimes Jesus works through people. Sometimes direct. Many times, no, these words are direct, but not the message. When I make the way of the cross, I'm deeply moved at the 12th station. Here I reflect on the omnipotence of God's mercy, which passed through the heart of Jesus. It is open wound of the heart of Jesus. I enclose all poor humans and those individuals whom I love. As often as I make the way of the cross, from that font of mercy issued the two rays, that is, the blood and the water. If the immensity of their grace, they flood the whole world. The whites and the red rays, blood and water. When one is ill and weak, one must constantly make efforts to measure up to what others are doing as a matter of course. But even those matters of course, things cannot always be managed. Nevertheless, thank you, Jesus, for everything, because it is not the greatness of the works, but the greatness of the effort that will be rewarded. What is done out of love is not small, O my Jesus, for your eyes are everything. I do not know why I feel so terribly unwell in the morning. I have to muster all my strength to get out of bed, sometimes even to the point of heroism. The thought of Holy Communion gives me back a little more strength. And so the day starts with a struggle and ends with a struggle. When I go to take my rest, I feel like a soldier returning from the battlefield. You are now my Lord and my Master, though what this day has contained. You can imagine the whole day, if it doesn't feel well, from the very beginning to the end. Meditation. Upon meditation, the sister of the Lila, next to mine, keeps coughing and clearing her throat, sometimes without a break. It occurred to me once that I might take another place for the time of the meditation. because Mass had already been offered. But then I thought that if I did change my place, the sister would notice this and might feel hurt that I had moved away from her. So I decided to continue in prayer in my usual place and to offer this act of patience to God. Toward the end of the meditation, my soul was flooded with God's consolation, and this to the limit of what my heart could bear. And the Lord gave me to know that if I had moved away from that sister, I would have moved away also from those graces which flowed into my soul. That means at times, don't escape. Stay with your little cross. With patience, stay with that grace. He says, if you move, of course you have a silenced place. But you lose the chance to experience the grace of God. Jesus came to the main entrance today under the guise of a poor young man. The young man, emaciated, barefoot and bareheaded, and with his clothes in tatters, was frozen because the day was cold and rainy, of course. So cold. He asked for something hot to eat. So I went to the kitchen, but found nothing there for the poor. But after searching around for some time, I succeeded in finding some soup, which I reheated while we heated, and into which I crumbled some bread. And I gave it to the poor young man, who ate it. As I was taking the bowl from him, he gave me to know that he was the Lord of heaven and earth. When I saw him as he was, he vanished from my sight. When I went back in and reflected on what had happened at the gate, I heard these words in my soul. My daughter, the blessings of the poor who bless me as they leave this gate have reached my ears, and your compassion within the bonds of obedience has pleased me. And this is why I came down from my throne to taste the fruit of your mercy. Because she feels so sad, you know. The young man came and the young girl came and cannot and you know, let him in to be a student. So sad because they have no space, no place. So sad. This is compassion. Oh my Jesus, now everything is clear to me, and I understand all that has just happened. I somehow felt and asked myself, what sort of a poor man is this who radiates such modesty? From that moment on, there was stirred up in my heart an even purer love toward the poor and the needy. Whatever you do to the least, you're doing it to me. No. Oh, how happy I am that my superiors have given me such a task. I understand that mercy is manifold. One can do good always and everywhere and at all times. An ardent love of God sees all around itself constant opportunities to share itself through deed, word, and prayer. Now I understand the words which you spoke to me, O Lord, some time ago. Oh, how great efforts I must make to carry out my duties well when my health is so poor. This will be known to you alone, O Christ. In times of interior desolation, I do not lose my peace, because I know that God never abandons a soul, except perhaps only when the soul itself breaks the bond of love by its unfaithfulness. However, all creatures, without exception, depend on the Lord and are maintained by His omnipotence. Some are under the rule of love, others under the rule of justice. It depends on us under which rule we want to live, because no one is refused the aid of sufficient grace. I am not frightened at all by my apparent abandonment. I examine myself more profoundly to discover whether this is due to my fault. If this is not the case, then may the Lord be blessed. October 1st, 1937. Word of the Lord. Daughter, I need sacrifice lovingly accomplished, because that alone has meaning for me. Enormous indeed are the depths of the world which are due to me. Pure souls can pay them by their sacrifice, exercising mercy in spirit. So Jesus said, today still we are in depths of His mercy. The pure souls that you people can pay them by your sacrifice. Some people do bad and you do good to pay off the debts. It's interesting. We are one body, one spirit, no? One body of Christ. I understand the word, so Lord, and the magnitude of the mercy that ought to shine in my soul. Jesus says, I know, my daughter, that you understand it and that you do everything within your power. But write this, for the many souls who are often worried because they do not have the material means with which to carry out an act of mercy. This is the mercy of Jesus. Yes, spiritual mercy, which requires neither permissions nor storehouse, is much more meritorious and is within the grasp of every soul. If a soul does not exercise mercy somehow or other, it will not obtain my mercy on the day of judgment. Oh, if only souls knew how to gather eternal treasure for themselves, they will not be judged, for they would forestall my judgment with their mercy. So, you need to prepare. Be merciful, compassion, exercise this more. October 10th, 1937. Oh, my Jesus, in thanksgiving for your many graces, I offer you my body and soul, intellect and will, and all the sentiments of my heart. Through the vows, I've given myself entirely to you. I've done nothing more than I can offer you. Jesus said to me, my daughter, you have not offered me that which is really yours. I probed deeply into myself and found that I love God with all the faculties of my soul, are unable to see what it was that I had not yet given to the Lord. I asked, Jesus, tell me, what is it? And I give it to you at once with a great generous heart. Jesus said to me with kindness, daughter, give me your misery, because it is your exclusive property. As if he gives donation, generosity, it's not. Still from Jesus, the generosity comes from Jesus. But only our misery, our poverty is ours. It's only Jesus through us to share with others. At that moment, a ray of light illumined my soul, and I saw the whole abyss of my misery. In the same moment, I nestled close to the most sacred heart of Jesus with so much trust that even if I had the sins of the damned weighing on my conscience, I would not have doubted God's mercy. But a heart crushed to dust, I've been thrown to myself into the abyss of your mercy. I believe, O Jesus, that you would not reject me, but would absolve me through the hand of your representatives. You expired, Jesus, but a source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Word of Jesus. At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for sinners, and if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my compassion, in my passion, particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. I will allow you to enter into my mortal sorrow. In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. 3 o'clock. Stop for a moment. That's required from Jesus. Now, just remember not his anger, his passion, his love. Hail, most merciful heart of Jesus, living fountain of the grace of all graces, our soul sheltered, our only refuge. In you I have the light of hope. Hail, most compassionate heart of my God, unfathomable living font of love, from which gusts life from sinful men and the spring of all sweetness. Hail, open wound of the most sacred heart, from which the rays of mercy issued forth, and from which he was given us to draw life in the vessel of trust alone. Hail, God's goodness, incomprehensible, never to be measured or fathomed, full of love and mercy, though always holy, yet like a good mother, ever bent over us. Hail, throne of mercy, Lamb of God, who gave your life in sacrifice for me, before whom my soul humbled itself daily, living in faith profound. Today we finish the book 4. Next week, start book 5. It's beautiful. Express today, remind us to be humble. And whatever you can do, nothing out of your power. It's out of the love of God. Even you share your love for others, it's the love of Jesus. So thank the Lord for everything that He's given us. Eternal Father.